Welcome you all to our first Workers' Congress of 2022. And so we'll be going back to the basics about our ministry, the responsibilities that we have. As a church, we have our vision. We have what we consider as God's call on our lives. And I remember I was having this, I've said this like twice already this week, this meeting with a church group, and they were having training, so I have the privilege of speaking to them. They're not within the country, it's outside the country. So we began to speak about the ministry, and one of the things that, but when we were done, and someone asked a question, so you know the emphasis of what I said, and said, does it mean that God wants all of us to be preachers? I said, yes, that's what I just showed you. Okay, and then, so, ministry is preaching. I said, yes. And I showed them in Matthew 4 that Jesus began ministry when he began preaching. Matthew 4, from about verse 15 through to 17. He began ministry when he began preaching. He wasn't said to be in ministry until he was preaching. That was when he began ministry. From verse 15 to 17, that was when he began ministry. In Mark's Gospel and chapter 1, Mark's Gospel chapter 1, again, you read about Jesus in verse 14. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So his ministry and the important record of his life was when he began preaching. And notice that when Saul of Tarsus, I showed them this, when Saul of Tarsus got born again, I'm showing you that Acts 9, when Saul of Tarsus got born again, and Ananias had laid hands on him, look at the immediate response. Acts 9, verse 20. Are you there? Turn there quickly. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. That is, I mean, after fasting, you eat. So he was strengthened. Then was Saul 7 days with the disciples that were at Damascus. So he's now in the midst of disciples. Some we are going to deal with in a moment. He's in the midst of the disciples. So he mingled with them immediately. Look at 20. And straight away, he preached Christ in the synagogue. Straight away. That's the response. That's the fruit of the ministry. When the seven servants, deacons, associate pastors were chosen, Acts 6, what did we see immediately? Stephen was preaching. You cannot claim to be in the ministry and you are not preaching. Now, so I said, what about being a good example? And I said, Jesus was a good example before he began preaching, but he didn't begin preaching because he was a good example. He was a good example because of his ministry. We're going to see all that moment in a moment. So the good example is because of who you are. 1 Timothy 4:12, when Paul says, be an example of a believer, he's talking to someone who is preaching the gospel, giving no offense in anything, 2 Corinthians 6 and 3, that the ministry be not blamed. So the reason why we live right is because we uphold the message of God's righteousness. So our message and our lives are interrelated. So I told them, I said, wow. I said, that is the message. And I reminded them, because I've told you this before, how Moses, when Joshua told him that, oh, there are some two guys that they're not in the tabernacle, Numbers 11. And they are here with us. They are prophesying. Moses said, woe to God Numbers 11, 29, 30, that all his people were preachers. When Isaiah and when Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters shall preach. That's what prophesied. They will speak God's word. So when I showed them there, and I said, what is important is not what is in popularity, is what is in the word. That's what is in the word. So I said them one more thing. I said, before I get to my subject today. So there's a method of church growth that is very expensive. Right? You spend a lot of money. You ensure that the auditorium is well catered for. And you, because you want to have a lot of people come. So you do a lot. Say it's expensive. You know? Say, but there's a less expensive route to it. But it's costlier. He said, what do you mean? In that order, you who is developing the life of believers, teaching them, you will have to lay down your life. You will have to pay the price. I said, when Jesus wanted to take care of the congregation, the multitude, he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He had to multiply miracles. He had to keep them, you know, from being hungry. But when he turned to the 12 and the 70 and the disciples, he said, take up your cross and follow me. A guy was telling him, I want to follow you. Luke's Gospel 9:58. He said, birds of the air said they have nests. Foxes have holes. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is not for the multitude. This is for the people that are in the church. One of the fellow came and he said, well, I'm going to be with you, but let me quickly go and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the gospel. You go and preach the gospel. Follow me and go and preach the gospel. The third one said, let me go tell them at home. He said, well, he that puts his hand on the plow, verse 62, and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. As soon as he said that, in Luke's Gospel 10, he picks 70 and sends them out. See, you must always know the distinction. Wisdom is knowing the difference in what he tells everybody and what he tells some people. Wisdom. And this is why when I had to have conversation, thank God, a good number of people that I spoke with, not just understand that making an amendment. I said to them, when the concept of the new normal services came up, and I had been writing about this concept of people staying at home claiming they've been to church because they can use their phones. I've been speaking about it for some years. For some years. I'm not a prophet. But I have a bit of understanding of the future and times. And I said that this is not church. Church is when people come together and gather. Because in itself is a sign of the resurrection. That physical gathering. Oh, some people felt you're just being unnecessarily extreme. And I tell them, but you are on television. I said, I am. You are on this platform. I said, I am. There's a difference between passing across information and pastoring. They are not the same. They are not the same. They are not the same. So you need to know the difference. So here we are, as God's servants, God's people, God's children, his church. We have a mandate. You see, starting something is not exciting. It's not the big deal. You start up, you know, you begin. No. It's in the consistency that lies the power. The consistency that lies the power. And not just the consistency, is to finish and finish well. Many of us here this day and watching me, you are young people. I'm young myself, just like you. You have a mandate to ensure that you are consistent in your life. It's a mandate. It's an obligation. You owe generations yet unborn to remain consistent. Did you hear what I just said? You owe them. So that someday you will say, well, I was also like that. Nonsense. Remember Archbishop Idaosa said, when you see a man, start to say, in those days, and it's so far from his life, he's dead. He doesn't know. So you owe the future people you don't even know, that are not even born yet, you owe them your consistency. Did you hear what I said? You owe people you don't know now, you owe them your consistency. Those moments you think are very hard, as you are pulling through them, it becomes a motivation for somebody else. Today, some of us reference Kenneth Hagin and great men in the faith. And we know that the things we reference them for were not easy. They're not easy things. They were not run-of-the-mill things. So the same way, someday, we should be able to point at you and say, that brother gave me the inspiration. That sister gave me the motivation. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew's Gospel 28. And we'll be looking at something very fundamental here. We're in a world of options. So there are a variety of options today. Mode of communication, options. Today we even have different options when it comes to gender. I've been to restroom before. They said male, female, other ones. So I want to say which other. They will have bonded me out of that country. Which? You have other options. Different options. It looks funny, but it's really ridiculous. God didn't give options. Hallelujah. So you have Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which God hath given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Pay attention to that word, teach. It means to make disciples. The word you know well, Matthew 2 in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-O. To make disciples. Notice that word, make. So it's a verb. A verb. An action word. So the ministry is an active thing, an action word, to make disciples. Now, let me reiterate again that making disciples wasn't peculiar to Jesus. John also had disciples. The Pharisees had disciples. So it wasn't peculiar to him. It simply means students, apprentice. Trainees, interns, put people through. That's what it means. So there's the making of disciples is an act. It's an act. You must learn what it is. You don't use your suggestions. Say, make disciples of every nation. He told them exactly how. Now, don't forget I said, it's not peculiar to him. Which means that other people were doing it. I mentioned the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Paul even recognized in Acts 22 verse 3, that he, Paul, sat at the feet of one called Gamaliel. And that phrase, sat at the feet, was used also for Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. Luke's Gospel 10, 38 and 39, which means he was being discipled. That's what it means, being discipled. So, Paul is saying to us that at some point, he was discipled by Gamaliel, so it wasn't peculiar to Jesus. But the word to make disciples is something that has to be clear in your mind. Very clear. There's nothing as important for a minister to know exactly what he's doing. Or better still, what he is called to do. What is this art? What does it mean? Some will assume it means to have people follow them to church. No, that's not what it is. I just showed you that Jesus had people that came with him to the meetings. Now, those who were in Jesus' meetings and came regularly or came for the miracles, followed their family, were those his disciples? No. He just told you who they were. Those that we just mentioned in Luke 9. In Mark 3:14, he said they might be with him and preach the gospel. Be with him and preach the gospel. Mark 3:14. Be with him, preach the gospel. So, having the ability, and some of us can invite people, I know. Some of us can invite people very well. You can announce a birthday party in 6 hours and the hall will be full. It's a skill some people have. You ask them, help me give out this Ashwebi. Ashwebi means the cloth of the family. Is that what it is? Literal translation. The cloth for the celebration. They can distribute it in one day. Everybody buy it. So they can do all of that. Someone told me how they had a program in Lagos for a particular ministry. He said, they just got some guys who knew. He called them canvassers. That's what he said. He was talking to me about ministries. I was listening. I was listening and taking notes. He said, canvassers. He said, we got them. He said, in less than 2-3 weeks, we filled so and so place. We got them from all over the place. I said, interesting. So I now asked a question. Did they come on Sunday? I said, no now. It's just for that program. See? So, some people have that skill. They can get people, let's go to church. They bundle them into the bus. I know a church like that in Lagos years ago. I don't know whether they do it against me. Years I knew, I don't know now. They will offer you breakfast and lunch. So when you are coming in the morning, they will pack your, in fact the disciples will be waiting for the breakfast. So when they are going to church, they are eating. It is a great thing to eat the Lord. You see, they are going. As soon as the service is over, they give them lunch. In fact, I know some people today who now say, well, they don't want to waste their monies anymore on billboards. Their billboards don't really invite people. So they ask their church members and they say, for every soul that you bring, they give them money. So, but you cannot just say you brought solo. As his soul shows up in the ark of Noah, you write the name down. So the pastor says, how many are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 4,000. Oh, you are laughing. If we did that for some people, not you, and say for every soul, 10K. The soul winner in them will come out. And they are doing it. And we are seeing them. Number one, we don't even have that kind of money. So we are not tempted. You know, it's when you have money that you can be tempted. We don't have such kind of temptation. You know. Number two, we didn't grow up that way. So they asked me to come. So you have people that do that. And people follow them to church. There are some of us who we get our family people to follow us to church out of the fact that they have no choice. They are saying in your house, say, you can't say in my house, I go to another church. it's not done anyway. The guy just come to church. As we are right, as everybody's taking notes, just writing, God save me from this wicked host. So that's not what he's talking about here. This ministry has parameters. The ministry of the gospel. He said, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things soever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. So he's specific what they must be taught. Hallelujah. Very specific. What they must be taught. He is specific of what they must be like. Many times he told his disciples, you cannot be greater than your master. You must be like me. In John 13, he said, I've done this so that you can also done this to show an example how you must treat one another. Love one another as I have loved you. So, one, Jesus gave them a message. Two, he gave them a model. A message, a model, and the fruit of that ministry. Be clear in your mind what you are doing. Be clear. So when you are going for evangelism, you are not going for evangelism without a vision. When you are going for evangelism, there is a vision. It says, go and make students of the word of God. Students of the life of Jesus. Go and make them. Go and make them. I told you how. Teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. Like I said in the first service today, by precept and by example. So Jesus' life was given to us to save us from sin. He knew no sin. Became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Excellent. His life is also an example. So the life of Jesus is not just sacrifice for sins, straight to the cross. No, his life is also an example. So when you hear, he knew no sin, that is his life. That is the example. 1 Peter 2:21 says he laid down an example for us to follow. There was no guile found in his mouth. There was no iniquity found in his conduct. Pilate and Aaron, they said, this man has done nothing. Even the criminal on the cross said, this man has done no wrong. That's not just about the cross. That is also the model that we have. So he gave them a message, model, and a standard of what the fruit should look like. Hallelujah. So listen very well. So you are not given the room to alter that instruction. You are not given the room to review it. No, you aren't. No matter what is in vogue and what is popular, you are not given that room. Teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you. Why do you think he spent, now, these are guys, he spent about 2.5 years teaching. He still spent 40 days. Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spoke to you. So what he taught them in the resurrection were largely reminders. Why did he call them fools? To believe all of the prophets had spoken, because that was what he was teaching them about. John 5:39-45, that's what he was teaching them. So he was reminded, so 40 days of reminding people what you had taught them for about 3 years. Because for many of us, we easily forget. So when you set out in ministry, what is in your mind? What is in your mind? What's on your mind? Well, the most important thing is just get people to church. That's not what Jesus asked you to do. What is just important is just make people, let them just confess Jesus as their Lord. We'll leave all the rest. No, that's not what he asked you to do. He said you make them disciples. You will. Because if you don't know that, you won't know why you are going on outreach and going to preach. Where people would do all sorts of outreaches. And you ask yourself, what did they really think Jesus meant? And then they ask people, you know, those who need clothes, they'll give them. Those who need shoes and food, they'll give them. And then they'll tell them that, you know, If you want to have these things, you must give your life to Christ. That's what they call it. Of course, if I need food, I won't just give my life to Christ, the lives of people I know. I'll add it and give it to you. You see? But the truth is, that's not what Jesus sent us to do. I told someone this last year. I said, if the message that we preach is not important, the apostles will not warn us to be careful of how we preach. Paul told Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which means you have to be careful what you preach. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Having laid the foundation in chapter 3 verse 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Then he told them in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, both for doctrine, reproof, correction, church, righteousness. Verse 16, 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That I charge thee before Jesus Christ and his elect, who will judge the quick and the dead as own appearing. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. So that you will know the message is important. He said to them. He said to Timothy, pardon me. For the time will come. To reprove, sorry. Rebuke with all long suffering. And patience and doctrine. For the time will come. When they will no longer endure sound doctrine. Right? He said they will heap up teachers after their own lust. They will develop itching ears. Turn away from the truth of the word of God to fables. He said, but you make full proof of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. If the message was not important, that warning would not have been given. In Romans 16, 17, Paul says, mark them, not them, that cause divisions amongst you, who teach things contrary to the doctrine that you have learned of us. He said, turn away from them. Stay away from them. He said, for these people will deceive the heart of the simple by flowery words. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. So that means I don't have a right as to what I say. In Matthew 16, he also warns his disciples about the leaven, verse 6, of the Pharisees. They thought he was talking about bread. They now understood in verse 12, he's talking about the doctrine. Why do you think we spend hours, all our churches, weekly? We have our study groups. We have our materials that we release every now and then. Now I'll tell you something about the materials again. I said this to us on Tuesday or so, or Monday during the Bible seminar. See, as a younger Christian, I'm going to say this to you. I'm still very, very young. As a younger Christian, right? And that's why last week, during the birthday of Reverend Matthew Ashimolo, I gave a tribute to him because he helped my Christian walk. What did he do? He brought a lot of books from America and England to Nigeria. And I'm sure he subsidized them. Because then he will have us, many of us, join the book club. I'm talking about 1994, 1995. We'll join a book club. Then we'll begin to buy the books at certain rates. Through him, I bought a lot of books. I'll save up. And if you see my appearance, my books were looking better. They were more expensive than the things I was wearing. I remember my dad took a book. That book was full. My wardrobe then, two layers were filled with books. He said, it is what you did with your life. He took all the books and burnt them. And I laughed. By the next week or so, I replaced them. But every single one back. I once posted my budget of books on social media. You see, if I knew I was going to say that, I would have bought it, I would show you. Because you see, those are the investments you make. We'll talk about that in a moment. Those are the investments you make in your life. You don't just become,
You don't just become a consistent believer like that. No, it must be an investment you have made. So when you see books being released, it's for you. I don't have money. It's not true. We have people today. Of course, some people don't really. If somebody says there's surgery, they look for the money. If there's wedding, burial, they look for it. They look for it in hell. We get it. The reason why you have not put that, say, well, it's just book now. After all, I've been listening to the word of God. What an attitude. What a life. I remember one time that a book came out, Mighty Manifestations. So, they told me there were two copies remaining. I was at the Solo then. I went to Solo, at Obajari Crescent, where you had Madison Media. And they said, just two copies. One person was going to buy it. I said, please, I beg you in the name of the Lord Jesus, give me one day. I went back to Ikorodu. The way that money came out, I can't share it. I will share it later. Someone said, I thought that you were even completed. I said, no. Can I have the book? The Red-Haired Bunky, Mighty Manifestation. Because I went to the bookshelf. I opened the first chapter. I saw the outline. I said, you are going nowhere. That's an attitude you must have towards the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So the message is important. And the warnings about the message. So as you go out, that's what I tell you in the service. If you are asked to share the word of God in your office, don't be careless. No matter before whom you are talking or you're having this conversation. Philip saw an Enoch, a respected person in society. He didn't twist the scriptures. He didn't talk excitedly. He didn't share what the Enoch wanted to hear. He began from that scripture and took him around the Bible. How do we know? Because that Enoch was in Isaiah 53. By the time Philip was done with him, he said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That means they went to Exodus, Genesis. He took him through. Then he says, let's look for water to be baptized. Why did he say that? There was no baptism in Isaiah 53. He must have taken him to the Exodus stories. So, that is the attitude you must have to God's word. Not to just say, okay, yes, I know. Yes, sir, it's true. It's true. No! You have a high calling, hallelujah. I say you have a high calling, hallelujah. This is a high calling. Glory to God. It's a high calling upon your life. So you take it seriously. If it's going to take you 6 days to explain the word of God to your colleague at work, have the patience. There's a calling upon your life that demands diligence on your part. No wishy-washy. I know we are in someone was telling me this. Now, I'm not one given to comparing ministries. Sorry for these examples I'm giving. They only came out of conversation. He said, our ministry, the ministry is a ministry of excellence. I said, what is the excellence? He said, the excellence is that, you know, the way the sound quality comes out. Of course, I want a better sound quality. So the way the lights, the way the restrooms, he was trying to explain to me. Said, there's something, I'm looking at him. So what about the message? He said, he can't even remember the message. You don't know what was said. So let's look at the message. The message had barely half his scripture. Rushed. You know? And I said the same mediocrity that is in certain societies is a mediocrity you have given to the message of the gospel. You have hugged inanities. Things that are not priorities. They are important, but they are not priorities. And you left the real deal alone. The excellence should be your attitude, approach, passion about the revelation of scriptures. That should be your attitude. That should be the excellence, pardon me. So you rush the teaching. You don't even care what is being said. Whether it's according to the word. Now, in your, at your workplace, you measure standards. You stick to standards. You want and I told the guy, you're talking about standards in Nigeria. We should maintain standards. We should have standards. And you are telling me that the model for standard for organization in the world, in Nigeria is the church. I said, there's something wrong with your ideology. You were not told to show the world how to organize programs. That is not your own job. Where your excellence should be is your resolute conviction in God's word. Not trying to beat or to do awards like the world. To model like the world. No! It is the conviction you have in God's word. And if you go to Daniel, the spirit of excellence was that Daniel distinguished himself in the palace. Despite being a politician, he distinguished himself by his convictions in God's word. Same as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So drop that nonsense. You call excellence that well, you are putting timers in the service. It's good. You are having people, you know, do, you know, that your the way you organize your programs is top notch 21st century. That's clear. But listen, you are packaging something. What is inside the package? What did you say? Is the power of the Holy Spirit in what you are saying? In what you are doing? Is it the word of God? That is what you should pay attention to. Don't leave the things that ought to be done undone. The message is mediocre. I can't hear you. I hug my Bible and spend the night studying it. Then it's a mediocre ministry that you're running. I can't leave you and my hunger for God's word increases. Then you're running a mediocre ministry. No matter the excellent attribute that what you're doing looks like. So I told him something. I said, there are some things in our church. We deliberately tone them down. I said, yes, deliberately. Because we know where our emphasis is. Can I have an amen in this church? Because Jesus gave us a message. He gave us a message. He gave us a message. He did not hand over buildings. He didn't hand over equipment. He didn't hand over sound systems. He handed over a message. That's why Paul said, God has chosen, 1 Corinthians 1:21, through the foolishness of preaching to save. Hear me well. That is why, if you are serious about ministry, you will be serious about Bible study. If you are truly committed to ministry, and you are serious about ministry, you will be serious about the message. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's get to the nitty-gritty of this. So go and make disciples. So the way you get the disciples, the people are vital. I shared the story in the service. One brother like that was one of us. I'm talking about Saints Community Church. We had just started there. So he began a fellowship. We call it the Bible Teaching Centers. Outside Lagos. Because it was upcoming, I would assist him financially. Send him money, you know, for both what he was doing in school then, and also generally about his life. Then also the fellowship he began to tell our pastor, we have venue problems. I'll give him money. But he was lying. Most of the time. So sometimes he will go and go to another person's program and take the picture and send it that was the fellowship. So what we just observed that Whenever we're having special programs, especially World Changers Conference, he will now bring people, because oftentimes he will tell me he needs money to transport people down, so I'll send him the money. But he will now go around people and tell them, let me get you to Lagos. Free. But you must use one night. So, I mean, who would not come if it's just one night? And so those guys will come with him. Then on the first night of, you know, World Changers Conference, they will just be misbehaving. Ah, they didn't tell us this. This is not what we're told. They'll begin to react badly. By the next day, Enoch was slower. They went off. But my point is, he brought them by quackery and crooked means. They cannot endure what a true Christian and a disciple will do. They couldn't. That's why if you do anyhow, you get anyhow answer. If you bring people who are not born again, they can't stay. They won't. If you drag people, that's why in our church, you know, you won't be able to stay. I've said it to you many times. If you don't have a desire to be a pastor, I'm saying it clearly. P-A-S-T-O-R. I know I've taught you who a pastor is. If you don't have that desire, you will not like this church. Someone say, why is our home like this? Are we a Bible school? Yes. It's simple. Ah, they didn't tell me who. Who brought you? Ngo? Broika? You didn't tell me this was it. Nobody told me. You didn't tell me this. No, the truth I've told you. Which means that as you go out to preach, that should be in your mind. You are raising ministers for Jesus. Is that clear? You are raising ministers for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, if you want to hire people, for example, you have a construction site. So you want people that will just be carrying bricks. You won't, there's no qualification. Just say, come. In fact, most of the time, the bit of construction I've done, you hire people on a daily basis. They'll show up. Some will not show up the next day. So they say, so how many did you carry? Ah, okay. I carried 5 buckets. Mba? Say, no, it's 4. Oh yeah, 2,000. So the next day. Now, as you start hiring people, as the responsibility go higher, you can't hire people on a daily basis. You say, I like the way you look. Come and be our chief surgeon. Eh? I like the way you look. You are going to be my driver. Eh? Don't give your angels overtime. They are working extra hour. Say, I like the way you... No. You begin to ask, what's your training? What's your discipline? But the one that is just for people to carry, just everybody's thing, is the same thing. If you are going out to raise disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will pay attention to everything you are doing. From the moment you set out, right? You set out. Let me show you something. Look up, guys. Have you noticed a good number of Jesus' personal evangelism? All of them became ministers. Matthew 4. A good number of them. Peter and his brothers. John 4. The woman at the well. In the house of Martha and Mary. What do you call this guy? Luke 8. Is it Luke 8 now? Is it Luke 9? The madman of Gadara. They found him, let me just check the text so that I don't misquote it. They found him at the very feet of Jesus. Luke 8, yeah. Verse 35. He was now sober, learning the word. Saul of Tarsus. That's the motive of ministry. That's the motive of evangelism. Glory to God. Look up, guys. Do you know that at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, what is important will be the men that you raised on his behalf? Think about that when you are going out to preach. Don't think about Pastor Jakes. Yes, he's your pastor. Don't think about Pastor Larry. Don't think about Brother Alex. That's not what should be in your mind. Yes, they are the people God has put over your life. But think about Jesus. What did he ask you to do? Are you compromising the quality of the ministry that you should produce? Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 1. Say quality matters. I don't think I heard it. Quality matters. It matters a lot what you are producing. A lot. Colossians 1. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1 and 27. Whom we preach. No. Verse 28. Whom we preach. Warning every man. Teaching every man in all wisdom. That what? Perfect. Where? In Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:13. 4:11 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, of knowledge of the Son of God, pardon me, that you be henceforth no more children. They were particular, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, a slight calling of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Craftiness of men, pardon me. So you notice they were particular. In 1 Corinthians 3, after Paul had said, look, we are co-laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. So I've laid the foundation. Let each man think about it, what he's going to put upon it. He said, every substance, every work will be tried with fire. Every walk will be tried with fire. So, what kind of evangelism are you doing? Is it quick talk? Quick talk. Now, I'm not one, again, I'm saying it again, but you see, this is a workers in training meeting, so I've got to say some things very clearly. I'm not one to make comparisons. I'm not one to do that because I have my own work to do. But I kind of find it interesting when people stay online and say that they made altar calls and they got so many. I love harvest of souls. I'm one that is always excited when I see thousands believe the gospel. Always excited. I love to see it. But you see, I know what it takes to sit down with someone and preach. Many times you get questions. You hear, I'll come back tomorrow. You know what it takes, right? Talk to me now. So when someone just talks and prays for people for their job appointments on Monday, and those of them who have visa interview, and those of them who are looking for God government contract, fruit of the womb of the fruit, then says, if you want to give your life to Christ for this covenant to be permanent, then he says they are making decisions. I believe God. God works in different ways. But that way I don't know it. I'm not doubting it, but praise the Lord. So you've got to pay attention. Do not forget, this work is by precept, preaching the right message, and by example. By example. What kind of example are you? That's why I said some of you, when we began to tell you, if you are late, 15 minutes, 10 minutes after the service, we'll not allow you to come in. And some of you say, sir, but I went to get my disciples. And I laugh. What a discipleship. By coming late to church with your disciples, you have gotten discipleship wrong. You are teaching them the wrong things. The wrong things. The wrong things. I used to bring people to church years ago. Then we didn't used to do Sunday services, so we started another church. On Sunday mornings, they will have a service in the evenings. I'm saying it on record. And those who I thought maybe will watch this, we never got to church one day late. And we used to move from Igbobo Ikorodu to Ikeja. Two services. I organized the bus. I'm talking 26 years ago. And I get the bus ready. And we'll get there on time. So it's not an excuse. It's a discipline. It means you are not seeing yourself model Christianity to them. What about how you appear? How you dress? Any latest fashion is on you. You are now the symbol of the world in the church. You are not paying attention to your ministry. Acts 20:28, take it to yourself and to the flock. 1 Timothy 4:16, take it to yourself and to your dog. Say, I take it to myself. You must take heed to yourself. Do I want my disciples to pick this that I'm doing? Take it to yourself. The kind of relationships, the kind of places you go to, the kind of places you have found, the kind of conduct from you, they are very important. You know why? Because in discipleship, you are the model. Jesus is walking through you. You are the model. Hallelujah. Someone offends you on the road, hits your car, you come down. First of all, examine the car. I'll say to Yoruba first, are you at baguette? So your life is destroyed. Cha, okay, take it easy. Just go. Ah! Eh? When it's in your slaps. Ah! You say, hey! You begin to untie. And then, your car. Something is playing. Are you ready for the world? Please, when things are about to happen, put up that stitching. Don't join me. Hallelujah. I don't care. No, you have to care. Because your job involves to care. You have to care. You have to care about everything about your life is involved in this work. Did you hear what I'm saying? You have to care. Hallelujah. So I'm going to use a parable for you to explain this. You have to care. Because if you do rush job, you'll get anyhow product. If you do I don't care, you'll get anyhow product. Years ago, over 10 years now, about 12 or so, I owned a plastic manufacturing company. So, we're trying to get customers for our company. And I now met someone, a highly influential Nigerian, so took me to a major paint company in Nigeria. Or told me about it. I said, the man said, we should come over to his office at VI. So we now go back to their office at Ikeja. Okay. Now, when we took over the company, we met certain engineers there. No, one person, actually two of them. We retained them. And so, my associates told me, don't worry, Oga, let's just use what we have. You know, don't just use what we're using what we have. And we had quite so many machines, about 14 or so. We had them. And so, they now said, we're going to produce paints for these guys, paint buckets. So, we want to get a mold. You know what a mold is? Okay, that's where, that's how you, you know, that's eventually, you know, what the bucket, the kind of form, shape is going to come out. So, every manufacturer knows that there are two critical things in that production process. The raw materials and the mold. The raw materials and the mold. And so, we went to get the raw materials. And the guy who was going to get the raw materials, you know, said someone, one is very expensive. Said, let's get one that there's one like that. He mentioned it. Now, I was very new. So they went to get the raw materials. You know, and then we made the mold. Said one guy will make us mold from, I think Alaba or something. The guy made the mold. We paid money for it. The mold was done. The guy said, oh God, this one, do so, so and so. Yeah, it will produce this number, thousands of things. Yeah, so I was ready. No, the materials. I didn't ask too many questions about the kind of material. Just said, it's a polypropylene, some PPE, PPE. He said, we'll get this one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I signed the checks. He got, yeah, yeah. So already, you know how businessmen are. I was already calculating the profit. Looking at that company we're going to. We cover the earth. You're listening very well, though. I had already bought a house. Is that not how we do? Entrepreneurs. You bought a house already, say, if I have two houses, the way I'm looking at it. Or if they give us an LPO of 10,000, 20,000, I was calculating. I was calculating the results. I did not pay attention to the process. So we say, yeah. So we had said, if I had marked how we're going to run it, because I was so assured, because of the kind of person that I got to know, I was so assured that we'll get it. He said, it's not, they just want us to come around. Okay? So we went to VR, we now got to the man's office. And everybody sat down, so they took me to the MD's office. Yeah. We sat down. They served us tea. So we had done our own buckets. You know, and funny enough, in the factory, we had tested our bucket, it was fine. And, you know, we made it very sparkly white. Looking very good. We even gave them design like that. So they would take. They would take. So we got to the place. As I was taking the tea, they said, well, the lab man is here, the chief lab scientist, and then they allowed us to go for the test of the samples that were brought. What kind of samples? I didn't think anything, so I was just coming. But, curiously, as we're going, we now kept going up. I said, why are we going up? They said, they have to drop. The bucket from a height. I said, why? They said, you know that they distribute their products all over Nigeria and West Africa. And because of that, because they have to keep throwing it, it has to be strong, kakaraka like Zumarok. At that point, my peace was leaving gradually. Hi! Don't forget, my engineer went to get anyhow. But me, I was covering the earth. Buying houses without the work. Buying cars. I had already planned what I was going to do. It was going to be a big contract. Because the man said they'll give us their contract for 1 year. Kings have come to my rising. You know. So we kept going up. They now loaded it. Ha. Seriously, we did the test in our factory, but we didn't go up. Interesting, the MD was with me. My contact person, because my contact person too was looking for court. So it was a well-packed deal. The engineer was there, the lab man, the chief, everybody was there. You know, put last aid far, far up. Hey. They now dropped it. It scattered before he got to the ground. I said, yeah. Yeah. Pow! Everybody just looked at me. May you not walk in vain. Then the person with me, that kid said, let's test the second one. He said, oh, yeah, bring it. So the man was very respectful. He said, well, what you need to do? No, the engineer spoke roughly. He said, what kind of material did you use? You go and buy at Oshodi. I said, no, not, now said it boldly. He said, we don't use this for this kind of company. Take it easy now. He said, you know, other people can take it, but you know, we are international and we need. All the respect they had for me. We went back to the office. Tea, how? The tea was already cold. So the man was now trying to talk and said, we'll go and work on it. He said, you have to work on it. Said, you know, you have to get quality hands. Quality. All my dreams just went off. I first looked at our engineer at the factory. I felt like giving him a dirty slap. But I asked myself, why did we not test it that way? So we got it wrong from the raw material, from the ideology we had. From the raw material. From the kind of message you were preaching. The kind of things, the kind of men you rushed them into the service. The kind of ministry. Rush. Just fill the seats. Even though the people that are filling the seats are empty. Okay? Just like we did our own bucket. You packaged it well. You gave them Bible. Okay? That is not the faith. In fact, some people like that, they're not born again. They force them to speak in tongues. Just say, land-do-do. Yes, land-do-do. It's the Holy Ghost. He's not born again. He's saying land-do-do. You force them to camp meeting. You are, just come. The guy is just looking. What's all this? He's not born again. He's not. For those who are born again, no training, no substance. You have not spent time to put the word of God in their hearts. So you just be bringing them to church. You are not ready to go and get the quality material. You are not ready to spend money to get the kind of engineer that can do the job. You are not ready for the quality things that day. It's so vivid in my mind. That was a huge disgrace. And you know, in life, there are many times you can't get a second chance. Now think about the judgment seat of Jesus. He said, will present them blameless. Is that what he said? Every work shall be tried. We couldn't go back to that company to get an LPU again. We couldn't. We could not. So, look at the kind of men you are building. Because you see, if you rush it, that's what you are going to get. It's believed that the intensity of what something will carry requires the depth, right, that you put in the foundation. If you're going to have a house of, now if you go, some of those buildings that have problems in Lagos, I'm not trying to judge any, one of the things they always say is the foundation, the kind of structure. The kind of structure. Sometimes on the outside, they will look very good. But the structure is so weak. The spiritual substance is not there. The mold is defective. If you know what I'm talking about. If the mold has a defect, it will come out in all the products. Who is the mold again? Who is the mold? You are the mold. I remember one time like that, we got one mold. And there was just some crack or so in all the products. And the bad part was that the guy supervising the work, he just kept producing them. So we now had to, make them scrap, then return them back to recycle them. And spend a lot of money. So, it means that the example I lead is important. What I do is important. I don't need what I do to be saved. But now that I'm born again, and I'm involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth, what I do matters a lot. Is that very clear? What I do at home, what I do in my office, what I do in my streets, on my streets, what I do as a Nigerian, what I do on my campus, what I do as a husband, as a wife, a citizen, a sibling, they matter. Because I am the mold. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm the mold. Before you say that in the morning, do you watch how you look? Do you watch where you go to? Do you watch the kind of people you surround yourself with? Knowing who you are. You know, those of you who are judicial officers here, you know. But one of us in this church had to tell me, Pastor, because of what I do, I said, I understand. You can't be found, you can't find a judge. And then they're in one party. And they say, because the work requires a lot of soberness. So there are things a doctor cannot do. Because of the responsibility, because they handle lives. They would, and somebody who is a theater arts person, this is not to put down the profession, will do it easily. Somebody who is into other, will say, no, don't you know your profession? The question I'm going to ask you tonight, don't you know your job? Don't you know your ministry? It matters. Glory to God. Does that mean we'll make mistakes? We do, I do too, you do. But you know, we have a heart that we know who we are. So as soon as we're wrong, we correct ourselves because we know we have a duty to live upright, to live right. Is that clear? And be the example people can look at. The mold is defective. No matter how good the materials are. So if you preach well and you teach accurately, but the mold is defective, as it passes through the mold, whatever is going to come out will have defect. If the raw materials are bad, such that you mix good and bad quality, when the storms of life will come, in Matthew 7, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is likened unto how a man. So he said, he that hears these words of mine and doeth them, said, is likened unto a man who builds his house upon the rock. He said, the one that hears it and doesn't do it, he hears the sermons. He can even preach it, but doesn't do it. is likened unto a man who built his house upon the sand. Notice they both built it. They both built churches. They both do evangelism. Both of them have fellowships. They are cell group leaders. They are fellowship center coordinators. They are pastors of local churches. So when the winds come, and in the scripture, winds and rains are both judgment and demonic activity. So when they come, he said, the one who was built upon the sand, it will fall, pew, just like my plastic bucket. That is the judgment. It will fall. We saw people who, because of COVID-19, stopped going to churches. It's not COVID that caused it. They never had substance. They never had substance. Listen to me. I've been a Christian a few weeks. I've never, all my Christian walk, when I say this, hear this very well, all my Christian experience, right, put together, I never read God's word, prayed like that period. All put together. So it's not an excuse. At that period, I don't think, you know, when you see a Christian, because of anything, marriage, having children, has to travel abroad, change jobs, and changes in his commitment to the ministry, he never had the depth. The winds have come. The rains are falling. And the true test of the raw material, that thing you have been taking to your factory and using to decorate the cupboard, it's now time to test it. And they go high and high. Lest I forget. That day, they now showed us the kind of sample they were looking for. Then bounce back, dang, dang, dang. Hey! Our life is outside. Took a smaller one. Woo! In fact, the man said, let me show you one. Whoa! God! It's bounce back, caca! Hey! You know, this, all these lab people and engineers, they can speak roughly because you're not giving them any court. Yes? Man said, but the person that supplied us last, trying to say, don't take this one. What he brought, sir. We took it to so and so places. There was a day the truck fell down, nothing, and I was looking at him. Almighty Father. So are you building men that can endure? Are you building disciples that are tough? Are you building men and women? That's why I told your pastors when they had lockdown. I said, we are not going to do anything extra. We are not going to do anything extra. We will not do anything that we have never been doing. And I told them why. Because we will have to sustain it after. I don't have the capacity to make something temporary permanent. That's how in the Old Testament. Because God used a permanent means to communicate with them the effort. You know what they did? They now made it an idol. So I don't have that capacity. I said, we have been teaching these people. They're all listening to me. We've been teaching them the word of God. Now they have asked us to gather in 2 and 3. If by now we don't have enough people to have 2 and 3, then we have failed. This is the time. Remember what I told you? This is the time to test what we have been doing. If I wanted to go online, I would get a lot of following. I know. But don't forget what happened at the factory. When the time comes. Right? When the time comes. Because I will be raising people who have no commitments. Do you know what we do to keep you focused in a service? Some of you are chewing gum with sweets, licking saliva. I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm awake. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Matthew 28. Luke 24. You now sit at home. You see. Share go watching from Ogbomoso. What does it mean? There was a day. Me. I had an Arsenal game. Arsenal game like this. There was broadcast. You will see me on the broadcast. I was watching the game. Oh yes. Sometimes you are watching, but somebody will call. How now? And we are talking. There's no commitment to that. The fact that you could leave your house in itself is that Christian growth. Walk away from your convenience. Some people say they are praying online. Prayer group leaders. You know how you are looking around. Someone just made one spot. 30 minutes. You now say he's doing it at home. There are brethren that will set alarm at 4:30. They will say, pray. I want the alarm at 5:30. Done. Everybody is wise. That's what I'm trying to say. So that gathering itself is your commitment to the gospel. So I told them, I said, well, so let's use this opportunity to raise and develop people who lead others. Hallelujah. There are easy things to do, easy way out. One of our churches, because of the country they were at, they were totally shut down. And they were having meetings and their church just grew way! I told the pastor, I said, you are building problems. A lot of people would join online. They said they were blessed. I said, it's time to stop it. As soon as they stopped it, it didn't drop. I said, now this is your real church. Hallelujah. Who wants quality here? What will last? Stand the test. Let me see your hand. What will last and stand the test of time? You have to pay the price. You know, we were not paying the price. We didn't buy the right quality. We just got one guy. The guy was both our lab man. And he was everything. One single man. And the salary we were giving him was just enough for him to be enough. How you get the right things? You are not paying the price. You cannot pray 30 minutes and get the result of 6 hours prayer. It can never happen. You can't give consecration of 30% and get a 100% result. It cannot happen. Don't let anybody fool you. What you are going to produce is what I produce in my factory. And when storms of life will come, that's why you will see people who are well built. Some, their commitment to Jesus is because of their fellowship leader, fellowship pastor. It's because of, if something happens between them, or they find somebody else, they drop. There's no inner conviction. When you see men and women who are giving to the Lord, I was sharing this in Ghana. And I told them, Pastor Wale was there. I said, I remember a time, and I'm saying this because it's a good example. On a single day, 8 years ago, he buried his dad and mom the same day. The same day. I was there. We had the believers' convention because we had fixed it earlier. So I told him, I said, you know what? You can take time off. I understand. He said, no. So he's going to be there. I said, you know, I said, Pastor, I will be there. And he came. Why was he able to do that? Because he had built a conviction that no wind, no contrary wind would shift. He led the worship. He didn't get there and say, no matter what I've been through, oh God, oh Lord, you see my heart, oh Lord, no! You start to grumble in your psalms. I will make it no matter what. No matter what, I'll make it.
Oh God, leave the microphone.
We can go on and on. There are numerous people in this church who are good examples. I told him, I said, you're a model for me. And I pray that he remains that model. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some of you, listen to me right now. When I look at the things you pass through, and I see your service, I look at you and I tell you, thank God for your life. That's Christianity. Because you ask yourself, what would this do for someone? What would this do for someone? What would this, how would this build others? Because your strength becomes strength for others. Ordinary job change. Your Christian life has changed. Job change! We are now big. That's why I often say, anybody who can be humble when he doesn't have money, you'll be kneeling now every now and then. Frustrating. Because you don't have anything. Yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. First official car. It's fairly used though. You stop doing like this. You start doing like this. A car that they let me stop there. They just made you deputy front desk officer. Is that coming late for prayer meeting? Say, you know my job, sir. Then you see other people who are managing directors of conglomerates. You see them serving the Lord in their capacity. You used to be in the operations department when you were in school, Unilag, or Lasu, or Yabatech. Soon as you got to job, you said, can I change my department to what? Living Word Media. Very good. Because you sit in front of a laptop. You don't want to be in the toilet. You don't know God, not shy. You can't be giving Bible to people. Pastor, I don't know. Can I join your protocol? I have a car that can be your escort. Then you will know whether you are truly humble. Anybody can claim to have self-control when you don't have enough money to sponsor your temptation. You don't have. Life has made you humble. So you'll be greeting everybody, even small boy, good morning, sir. But now, some people just, they'll pass through airports. They'll change their language. Hi. Yeah. You want to yeah, yeah. Someone like that was having, then just went up and said, yeah. I said, call me now. A strong wind has blown over you. I said, sorry sir, I didn't know how I typed it. You will never know. Yeah. When the winds came, when the rains came, the Bible says it was not shaking. See, I can never be moved. Hallelujah. And how you have that kind of model, because you have made the right investments into your life. You have invested quality time in study and prayer. Quality time in meditating upon the Word of God. So much that nothing shakes you. Nothing. Sometimes you are facing your tests in life. Things that, whether it's by your own errors or other people's errors or whatever, but your convictions remain rock solid. Hallelujah. Rock solid. You already know what to do. I was talking to Pastor Tokes last night, 2 nights ago, and I told him one story. And he shook his head. And I said, this man that I'm playing with now on social media, this is what he said 24 years ago. He said, but I ignored it. I deepened my investment into the Word of God. You have your conviction. You are not an opportunist.
A friend told me this. Someone called us and said they saw this money. All this juju money. It was in dollars. Filled in a briefcase. So he called me. He said, Pastor, there's this money. He sent the pictures to my phone. I saw the dollars. So somebody came to him, and the guy is supposed to be like, the guy said he wants to be born again, but he wants to give the money to the ministry. I'm not talking about $100,000. I'm not talking $10 million. This was 4 years ago or so. So the guy asked me, he said, what do I do? I said, nothing. Return the thing. He said, but for the gospel. I said, which gospel? Return it. So he was telling another friend, he said, you know something Pastor Chris did? He said he didn't even say, let me call you back. He just answered straight. I said, there was nothing to think about. Nothing. I said, return it. There's nothing to think about. Because your convictions are already set. So you are built. You are every day as you feed on the word of God is for such situations. I'm not thinking twice about it. I'm not trying to rationalize what you're saying. No. I don't need that. It's not necessary. You know why? To the glory of God. I'm well built in the word of God. And I'm being built in the word of God. So there's no reason for it. Glory to God. So no matter what comes, whether you change your status or you are older, because you are older now, you're not behaving your age. Say, hey, this is my HOD, still an undergraduate. You, what are you? Under spiritual. Yeah, yeah. No substance. So getting back to what we're saying, you are the mold, the model. Make sure you're original. Make sure your convictions are strong. Make sure you are not fair weather. Make sure you are in the word for the rest of your life. Make sure it's not because something is popular. A lot of people got into the popular trend. Oh, it's now the word. Hey, word no more. What? And I said, this is going to fade away. I remember then when I went to some of your pastors their school, and a lot of people were following us. I told them, I said, watch, oh, many of them would drop by the way. Because it's a long journey. Years ago, me and friends, we came back together, we prayed, we sang the song, God of great courage, source of our strength. We said, we are taking the land. Oh, we are taking the land. We are taking the land. Where you could do that. We are taking the land. We prayed, we are Star Palace, by Ekuru. We prayed and prayed and prayed. I held our hands. One by one. One by one. One major person. He saw his GC result. And the result, he didn't enter the straight way. It was a narrow way. He dropped out. A lot of other guys. You know what I did? I did the work alone. Because it didn't matter that they were no longer part of it. My conviction, even though it was shared, it is still personal. So nothing will change you if you are truly built in the word. You are the mold. You want to have strong disciples? Be a strong Christian. You want to have disciples living right? Live right. You want to have disciples pray? Be prayerful. You want to have disciples who study the word? Study the word. Are you following what I'm saying? Who are generous? Be generous. Be the Christ that people see. Hallelujah. Remember, the raw materials have to be genuine. The mold must have no defects. You mustn't rush it. You must invest in the mold. Invest in your spiritual life. Let me give you a definition of discipleship that I normally give. I said discipleship is where you invest in your personality. You make huge deposits of investment in your personality.
in your consecration, dedication to the things of God, you make huge investments so that you will now be able to make quality investments into people's lives. Quality investments. But if you don't make that investment into your own life, you cannot get it. Not those lives. Hallelujah. See, I make the right investments in my life and my ministry, in my character, in my disposition. Hallelujah. The last thing I said, the results that come out of it. You know what you want. What do you want from that brother that is your disciple, that sister? Business partner? Marital partner? Or a minister of the gospel? Decide what you want. If that is what you want, then you know how you are going to get it. You will have to produce the right quality, using the right materials, being the proper mold and model, and ensuring that you patiently produce the right things. You don't rush the process. You patiently, you visit, you sit down, you teach. You spend hours doing it. The fellow leaves the service, you check his notes. How did you take notes? You correct him, correct her. Take them to pray. Take them to do evangelism. That means you are serious about what you are doing. But if you do anyhow things, you get anyhow results. You will not have disciples who cannot pray, who don't even know that they are Christians. It's because of the kind of follow-up that you have done. Who get lost when the word of God is taught, who cannot pray, who are not sound or solid. Tests and trials of life, they fall astray or aside because of the kind of quality that you have compromised. Brothers and sisters, it's time to wake up. The message, the mold, the results. The message must never be compromised. The mold, a model must not be compromised. And the results must never, ever be compromised. Hallelujah. I'm going to challenge you as we close tonight. We're approaching the camp meeting. I'm going to challenge you to do something. What is it? Start to act like a pastor, a shepherd in this world, a guide to the blind. I'm going to challenge you to do that. To see yourself as God's man. You are someone's wife, someone's husband, MD of a company, yes. But that's secondary in identity to you. You are a man and woman of God. I challenge you to live that way. You don't need to be a cell group leader to gather believers and teach them. You don't have to be. I'm sure your pastors know what I'm saying. Pastor, I'm thinking I have 10 disciples. I want to be teaching them the word of God. Every week. Every 2 weeks, the pastor will guide you. Because he has to guide you. So you don't conflict other things. But that must be on your heart. I challenge you to see yourself as a shepherd in this earth. I challenge you to see yourself as how God will reach this world. I challenge you to see yourself as Jesus people are going to look up to and look at. I challenge you to throw your entire life to this and see the kinds of men and women that you will breed for the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and we pray.